here. Going to call us back into order. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to suspend the rules and move ONCA 1911 and ONCA 1934 on third reading on tomorrow's agenda after engrossment.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. It's a rule suspension. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, motion passes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, so, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to suspend the rules, modify the agenda, and place ONCA 1870, ONCA 1921, ONCA 1935, and ONCA 1938 on general order day three on today's agenda.
Clarification, is that a motion?
Yes.
I took it as a motion. A motion and a second. It's a rule suspension. There's no discussion. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. A motion passes. We are now on general order day three, where amendments are voted on and the order received. First is an amendment by Congresswoman Edwards to bill number ONCA 1870. On page 2, line 76, strike October 1 and insert September 1, 15th. September 15th is how it reads. Is that correct? Okay, discussion regarding the amendment. Congresswoman Edwards.
That amendment just moves up the time frame within which the treasurer must announce what the benefit will be for the under 65 for the following year. It used to come right at the end, and as such, there wasn't anything really anybody could do about it. If there wasn't enough money in the account to satisfy the $500, I guess the treasurer would just simply let us know, and that would be that. But this will allow Congress a little time to talk with the treasurer, understand what's happening with respect to the declaration of the benefit, and moves it up 15 days.
Any additional discussion? All those in favor of the amendment say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, amendment number one passes. Next amendment is also to bill number ONCA 1870, presented by Congresswoman Edwards on page 3, line 96. After authorized, insert only. Congresswoman Edwards.
Just trying to make it clear here that you can only use your health benefit for authorized eligible expenses. So it's just a further clarification.
Any additional discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Amendment number two passes. Okay, we are now on amendment number three, which is also presented by Congresswoman Edwards on page 3, line 107, strike external and insert continuous account. Congresswoman Lemon.
I have an amendment to the amendment. Strike open quotations, strike external and close quotations, and strike open quotations account, close quotations, add insert open quotations, monitoring, close quotations.
Second.
Okay, we have an amendment to the amendment. Is there any discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
Could the movement please then tell us how the sentence would read if the amendment to the amendment passes?
Yeah.
Please.
The treasurer shall be responsible for contracting external audits and continuous monitoring required by this act.
Any discussion regarding the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the amendment to the amendment passes. We will now vote on the amended amendment. Any discussion regarding the amended amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Anyone opposed, say no. Okay, the amended amendment passes. Okay, amendment number 4, presented by Congresswoman Edwards on page 3, line 120 or 127, insert D. Members who have been convicted in the Osage courts of fraudulent use of benefits from the health fund are ineligible to access benefits for the period described in the judgment. I would point out that there's not an R in fraudulent if we want to amend it, or it can be probably corrected in.
Okay. To leave it to be corrected, or do you want me to make an amendment to
it? It'll be corrected during engrossment.
Thank you. Somebody note that, please.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Amendment number 4 passes. Amendment number 5, also presented by Congresswoman Edwards, is on page 3, line 127, insert new section. Is that an F? It's an E. Each enrolled member shall have an individual account established, period. The account shall reflect the current year's balance as well as rollover balances. Congresswoman Edwards.
So this is just inserting language about the individual accounts, which we had in the past, and it's just making clear that somebody is tracking the account, the current year's balance, as well as rollover balances.
Just curious, I've got a question. How would this change? Is it just more clarifying language, or is it? Any additional discussion? Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, it's my understanding that it would establish an individual account. Like if you should have more than one member on an account, it would establish a separate account for each child from the parent and no longer be like a parent with a few children on one in one account and card. So it would establish a new account plus a card for each person.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Now the card language is still in there, where it says that they can, you can have in a family.
Okay, so you'll see, keep the same card, but separate accounts?
Well, somebody has to keep track. I don't think that we did away with the accounts. I thought that we were keeping track. How else could we know how much each individual person had in their account if we weren't tracking accounts? But I don't think it... The language about the family card is still in there. I think it says that your amounts can be put on that card, but it doesn't alleviate tracking it.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, then I'm a little confused. I see some other little bit confusion, but because they do track account, they can tell. Okay.
Congresswoman Lemon.
I'm sorry. So my understanding is that with the fraudulent activity, they weren't able to keep track. And
right.
May I address Congressman Edwards another question? The number 5, which we're talking about right now, amendment, I'm reading it, and maybe I'm reading it incorrectly and I'm not understanding it correctly, that each person, this is what we spoke about last Friday, about each person having an individual card. Is that not what this amendment is?
It was my understanding that you had an individual account, meaning you have to track, you track individually the expenditures on that account. Whether those accounts can be loaded onto one card or not, no, I wasn't voicing an opinion about that. But it has to track. So if it's on one card, it still has to be attributed to the person that, you know, you're using it for. So if it was your daughter's, if you're using it on your daughter's behalf, then it has to track.
Congresswoman Good Fox and Congresswoman Stabler.
Well, I don't necessarily know how that happens, because if you have, okay, so if you have three kids, you're on one card, and there you have your card number, but if you are calling in, you have to give the enrollment number for the person who has the card. But currently, they don't track. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that that's really it either, the way you're describing it. I think there is one account, and that's the account of the card number. But you don't have multiple cards.
Congresswoman Stabler.
That's true. If they're using a card and they're using it for just a general purpose and it's not affiliated with a clinic or a hospital, there's no way to identify the patient electronically. If they're buying, and there's no way to determine, you know, which person it's to attribute to. So you can't track it through an electronic charge. You could do it through a paper claim, but not through machines.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I agree that it needs to track, because the benefit is for each member. Minors are members also. So part of the law should be that each individual member that gets the benefit, their account has to be trackable. I would disagree that that's not the case. That's not what the intent of this law is to give individual members the benefit, be it right now at $500. That's what the idea of the law is, and I believe that everybody should abide by it, including the company that accounts the tracks for the accounting of it. So I think this amendment needs to be in the law.
Congresswoman Stabler.
I'm not questioning the amendment now. I'm questioning the law. If you want to track it individually, that's what we all said we want to do. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give individual cards, is what I'm saying, to each member. So
that's what I said.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Well, and that was my concern too, because if anyone, we're on the health committee, but if anyone sat there and listened, we all want it to be trackable, and we all want for each member, including children, to get their $500. I don't ever want to see it where it is like it is right now, which is a parent could make the determination that one child needs $800 and get into another child's $500 and use it somewhere else. That's the way we have it, the way we have put it in there. It goes to each member, $500 to each member, and that's the fair way to do it. But I think that if we get into, so I have some concerns with the account and if we're going to have to get individual cards, because that's going to be we didn't discuss that. That's all I'm going to say. I have a big concern about that.
Did I miss someone, or is it Congresswoman Edwards? I guess I call on you.
Well, it's all I know is it needs to be tracked individually, and the law as it states right now says that you can put the accounts in a family account, but it says that they're tracking that. That's what it says. It says that a minor or dependent may have balances held in a family account managed by the custodial parent who's authorized to spend funds out of the account for the benefit of the minor. So somebody has to be tracking it, because how else would you know that they were spending it for the benefit of the minor? So if the new company, which I, or the old company, or whoever wins this RFP, can make a card that will track balances, then so be it. If they don't, then yes, you do have to have a separate card. Didn't we have a separate cards before? We've always had one. Well, then there must be some way that it does it.
That the kids at one point were reimbursed only.
Well, I had never heard this problem before.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I think that I didn't go to all of the health committee meetings, but I went to a few of them and listened in. And I think that if that's what the committee wants, to be every individual member to be trackable, I think that this does it in the law. And as far as I'm concerned as a legislator, the administration of that will be up to the executive branch, how they figure out how to make those individual accounts trackable, whether it be by an cards for each of the children or some type of a website where you can divide the claims out. I think this needs to be in the law, but the administration definitely is up to the executive branch.
Well, having a card right now with four children on it and going back to the days whenever paper claims were done, I've done both. The card is convenient. The only way this could be done right now, in my mind, as I said here, is if I would have five different cards. That seems to me that's a bit unnecessarily burdensome, and I'm against the amendment. This wasn't contemplated. We've spent a lot of time in committee, and to throw this out as a floor amendment is just something I can't support right now. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, maybe executive, maybe he can't speak, but I just have never understood why the current administrator was not able to track. I have never understood, and I've never been given an answer as to why, a clear answer. When I use the card, I'll use myself as an example. When I use the card for patient Joseph Goodfox Jr., I mean, that's who I'm paying the bill for using that card. And I've never understood why the current people couldn't say they have the patient's name. It's, you know, at a children's orthodontist. So maybe, I don't know, I'm just saying. I'm saying I think that it is possible to have this in there, not expect that we're going to be walking around with four or five or six cards and still be able to track.
Well, there's the differences whenever you're going to an orthodontist appointment versus buying Band-Aids or cough syrup.
Well, that's true.
Congresswoman Stabler.
It's even the case if you're in a clinic or you're in an orthodontist. And just like you use your, the card is used just like it was your credit card. So you don't say when you buy a shirt, I bought this for Joseph. And swipe your card, it doesn't work that way.
That's a good point.
So you can't, that's why I'm saying you can't track it electronically. You can track it through paper claims, or you can track it by individual cards. And unless somebody else knows of some other way to use a card, that's it for me.
All right, let's wrap this up here pretty quick. This is your amendment, Congresswoman Edwards. Against my better judgment, I'm going to give you the last word.
The whole concept of the health benefit is so that there is everyone has an account. They get their money put in the account during the year. It tracks the money that goes in and comes out. You find out your rollover balances, and that is a protection against fraud, because otherwise you could be putting $5,000 on a card and go on a cruise, which may be happening. So I'm sorry that it might be inconvenient, and they can work on that. But the most important thing is that we've got a $10 million benefit that we know is being fraudulently utilized, and we need to make sure that we can protect it. This is how the health benefit was always run, with individual accounts.
Okay. We're going to vote on the amendment. Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Good Fox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Speaker Walker?
No. The amendment passes. Amendment number 6 by Congresswoman Edwards is on page 4, line 146. After application, insert establishment of individual accounts, annual notification to enrolled members of pertinent information, including how to access account balances and how to submit claims for processing
and appeal
denial of benefits and strike and insert shall. Congresswoman Edwards.
The amendment to the amendment. Strike and insert shall. The last sentence.
Where I have strike and insert shall. Strike that. Not over there.
So the amendment to the amendment is basically, you're looking at the amendment form, it would be strike the part that is not on a line, so
right.
The bottom sentence. We have a motion on the floor.
Second.
To amend the amendment. It was seconded by Congresswoman Whitehorn. Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
All right, so let's see if it reads right then. It will say, a plan shall provide for applications, establishment of individual accounts, annual notification to enrolled members of pertinent information, including how to access account balances and how to submit claims for processing and appeal denial of benefits, and shall be made available throughout the calendar year to the members of the Osage Nation via web access and upon request by email and mail. Let me see. A plan shall provide for applications, establishments, and shall be available, made available. Okay.
Are you sure about that? What about change of benefit forms?
Right, sorry. After a plan shall provide for applications, establishment of individual accounts, annual notification to enrolled members of pertinent information, including how to access account balances and how to submit claims for processing and appeal denial of benefits and change of benefit forms, and shall be available. How's that? I think there's one too many ands, but they'll fix it.
Okay, this is an amendment to the amendment. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Which was strike and insert shall, strike that whole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. The amendment to the amendment passes. Now we are on the amended amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay. The amended amendment passes. Amendment number 7. By Congresswoman Edwards, is on page 4, line 167, insert new section. 2, every plan shall provide for a means of tracking account fund balances and describe how the enrolled member accesses that information. Congresswoman Edwards.
That's just reasserting that the plan has to have a means of tracking the account fund balances. That was something we ran into even before this current administrator. So the administrator has to keep track of the fund balances, or the plan must provide that someone keeps track of the plan balances.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Mark me down as a no, please. Amendment number 8, presented by Congresswoman Edwards, is on page 4, line 159, after online, insert, and.
That's just cleanup. So it'll read, paragraph B of this section shall provide an Osage member may apply online and access benefits if desired, da-da-da-da-da.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, that amendment passes. Next amendment is number 9, presented by Congresswoman Edwards on page 4, line 146. Insert after applications for individual accounts.
I'll withdraw that because we've already made some.
Amendment is withdrawn. Move to amendment number 10, presented by Congresswoman Whitehorn on page 3, line 120, after form, insert annually. Any discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
This will make where you, the beneficiaries of the health benefit, have to fill out an annual application. I think that that is needed in this type of a fund. For fraud prevention also. Just recently I've experienced a person that had a debit card for through the Office of Special Trustee, I believe, and the person was deceased and somebody continued using that card. It's real. It happens. It happens in the Social Security Administration at the federal government level, tune of millions of dollars a year. And I think that we are remiss if we don't see that fraud could take place in this arena. There's no requirement of, there might be a requirement in the plan of reporting death or change of membership. But I think that we're remiss as a legislative body for not considering that there's no way to track once somebody is enrolled the first time when that benefit to that person ends, and whether they're going to hand that card to another person that's non-Osage that can be use our Osage benefit and our Osage dollars year over year, up to $1,500 in your account. So I think an annual application process, I don't care what the cost is going to protect the Osage people's money, and I'm putting it out for a vote on the floor to see how my colleagues feel about that.
Any more discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, in tracking, we get real-time numbers about how many people have enrolled, and we tracked that every year so that we could see, looking forward, how much money we can anticipate that we're going to need to put aside for that year. With a perpetual enrollment, you've got to put up to probably the membership for 3 years. I mean, you just have to perpetually keep that going. And if that's what our commitment is, then that's fine. But just realize that that's what we've committed to. So can't then turn around and say, oh my gosh, we were spending too much money on health benefit. That's how we set it up.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
So when we made the change from yearly enrollment to perpetual, I was on the fence for a long time on that. That was a difficult decision, and it passed. I haven't went back and looked. I think I reluctantly voted for it. I'm gonna vote for this amendment. I think that it is needed because of fraud. Well, I'll leave it there. I'm going to vote for this amendment in support that we go back to an annual enrollment. And I realize that it's somewhat inconvenient for people that are signing up 4, 5, 6, 7 people. But in the end, I think that the benefit of knowing we can lessen fraud is a benefit worth having everyone re-enroll every single year.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Speaker Walker. I, too, am in support of this amendment. And with today's technologies and the abilities to enroll online, if any of our constituents and anybody sitting here at the table has done the re-enrollment or an annual enrollment, and I'm sure Congressman Potts could probably speak to this a little bit, for the Scholarship America, it is extremely it's streamlined, and you can put in your membership number, and it automatically populates all of your information, past, and if you want to change anything, it allows you to, and if not, you just hit submit, and it's just a couple of clicks. And so for me, I feel that it is something that that is needed, and I don't believe that once we get past the new third-party administrator, if there is one, or whomever's going to administer the plan, I feel that with the electronic version of it that we need and will have, when we do sign on for re-enrollment, it can be made streamlined and only take, honestly, maybe 5 minutes for our constituents. So I am in support of this. Thank you.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Pratt.
I agree with the amendment. Also, I think back when, I don't know, was it a year ago or so, we did this, and I voted against having it perpetual, and I at one time having to have 6 children, so signing everybody up, and I realize that it doesn't take that long. It's become even almost easier now with the online. My only thought was, help me recall, Congresswoman Whitehorn was saying, if someone has passed away and have the card, because there's a lot of instances where someone may have disenrolled or passed away, or and so there's a membership card still floating out there. And so then, because it is a simple process online, you just put it in the information, all you need is the enrollment number. Do we match this up with the health benefit annual with the enrollment office? I mean, because that's the only thing I could think of is, I agree with doing this, but even then, as far as fraud goes, that could possibly happen if we don't line the two up. So that was just a thought I had beyond, but otherwise I support this amendment in applying annually.
Speaker indicated that I could respond directly to your question. Those are all good thoughts. It's not up to us to administrate that, but it's in the law. And I think that by the administration of the law and the executive branch, they do have membership networked with a lot of programs that we do. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure their protocols, but the law gives them the direction and the framework to do so. And I'm not saying that this covers all holes of fraud.
No, it's just I think if it's not there, then
you're wide open and you don't have anything.
Congresswoman Edwards.
The membership bill that got lost, the membership resolution that got lost but is now found, provides a list of all the people that are added and those people that are deleted from the rolls in the last 6 months. So it'll be really easy to supply that to the third-party administrator.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak against the amendment. We just changed this a year ago, and it's not really so much for those of us that sit around on our smartphones a lot and can click a button. It's those that don't use their smartphone all the time, and just a year after we told everyone that you're going to be perpetually enrolled, now we sit around at this table and change our mind. I think if it were just Joe Osage out there, I'm thinking, what is going on up there? There seems a bit wishy-washy, but I'm not against this. We just debated this at length whenever we passed the last law. So anyway, I'm against this amendment. Congresswoman Pratt.
I agree with that. I mean, that's real. But here we are. We have new members of Congress, for one, since we voted on it. But I was a no then, and I'll just be a no again. To do it annually. Yes, I guess I'm voting yes this time. Yeah.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I agree with what you say also, but here we are a year later having to redo this bill again, so we might as well do it right this time while we're doing it.
I thought it was done right the last time, and this will cost the nation money. This is not free. Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
No.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
No. The amendment passes. Amendment number 11, presented by Congresswoman Edwards, is page 6, line 246. Insert the following new section. Section 3-108, loss of benefits. In addition to any criminal or civil penalties imposed by Osage law, members who are unable to establish that their health account was used for only health and wellness items delineated in this act may have their account suspended or lose current or previous year's benefits. Upon conviction of fraud involving use of the benefit, a member may permanently lose the right to access the health benefit. Congresswoman Edwards.
No, that's Goodfox.
Oh, Congresswoman Goodfox.
I have an amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
Strike may and insert will.
Second.
Motion and a second. Could you tell us your intent, please?
I think that we have sat here in executive session the last month and a half and heard about some blatant fraud issues that we've got, and I think that a ramification for taking advantage of a health benefit card that the nation offers, if you are convicted of fraud, I don't think that you should get to use it anymore. I think that you should be have that privilege taken away. That's the consequence.
Congresswoman Stabler.
I agree with this amendment only because we do have an appeal section to it. I mean, it'll be up to the executive to figure out how to do the appeal, but at least there is an element of appeal because there are times when there could be human error, and we certainly don't want to shut those people down. So with that, I'm for the amendment.
Anyone else? All those in favor of the amendment say yes.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that was an amendment to the amendment. So let me retract that. We're voting on the amendment to the amendment presented by Congresswoman Goodfox. All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyone opposed say no?
No. No.
Let's do a roll call vote, please.
Congressman Mason.
Stepped out.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
No.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
No. The amendment passes. Next is the amendment I've presented, and it was split. Congresswoman Edwards.
We need to vote on the amendment.
Oh. Okay, all of those in favor of the amended amendment, say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyone opposed, say no. Okay, the amended amendment passes. And now we'll move to amendment number 12, which is page 3, lines 96 and 97, strike stated in section 213D of the Internal Revenue Code and published in IRS publication 502, and insert described in IRS notice 2006-69, found in Internal Revenue Bulletin 2006-31, published July 31st, 2006, and thereby limit approved purchases to those which qualify as medical expenses under current IRS rules. Any discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
Can you explain the amendment? I mean, is what we have in here wrong?
It clearly tightens up the language in the bill. It was not described like this. This amendment puts into law exactly what is to be expected. Congresswoman Edwards.
So it still allows expenditures allowed by the Osage Nation and listed in a plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Anyone opposed, say no. And motion passes. Amendment number 13. Does everyone have their sheet? I mean, it's more, I would prefer not to read it. That's okay.
Sheet.
Would the body oblige me not to have to read that?
Oh.
All of those, is there any discussion regarding the amendment?
I want you to read it.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
I'm sorry. What amendment are we on?
Split the two.
This is, again, tightening up the language about the IISA.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm caught up. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
So what happens if, and maybe this doesn't impact, what happens with if merchants don't have the ability then to accept the card that's coded like it is? Then they can't take it?
I guess they would have to pay for it and get reimbursed. But this is, during committee, I asserted an amendment, added the IISA protocol. And as all this does is reference exactly what it is. It's just tightening up the language.
All right.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, that amendment passes. Okay, that's all of the amendments on 1870. Next is ONCA 1915. Or is it R? Okay. First Amendment presented by Congresswoman Edwards on page 1, line 14. After news, insert editorial board. Any discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
That's just clarifying language. In the body of the bill, it says the editorial board.
Anyone else? All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, amendment number 1 passes. Amendment number 2, presented by Congresswoman Edwards. Page 1, line 20, insert A, insert the following paragraph, B, into 15 ONC section 12-107, B, to establish the Osage News office and ensure operations are sound and that the duties and obligations of the board and its members, the Osage News editor, and Osage News staff are fulfilled. The office reports directly to the board. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I was tracking the language of the election office and the election board, because when the Human Resources Department has the board as the supervisor of the editor, and the now confirmed member of the editorial board said that that has been a point of confusion to them because they're referred to variously as an advisory board, but then they purportedly have the supervisory authority over staff. So to me, we needed to make clear that that was the case. So I'm asserting this, but I think that I'd like to hear from the sponsor if he thinks somehow this violates, or if he thinks that there's a problem with this amendment, because I'm willing to put it in a separate bill next time if he thinks this is somehow going to impact the passage of the bill, and I ask him to find out over the weekend, so let's see if he did.
I have not, Mr. Speaker, I have not been able to contact individuals to determine if this would impact the passage of the bill.
So in the spirit of cooperation, I'm willing to withdraw this amendment, and I'll reassert it.
Okay, without objection, the amendment has been withdrawn.
But you'll see it again.
Amendment number 3, page 1, line 23, strike a fair and unbiased. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, again, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Okay. Motion or the amendment has been withdrawn. Amendment number 4, presented by Congressman Potts. Throughout the bill, strike forum and insert debate or forum. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, that amendment passes. Next is amendment to ONCA 1921, presented by Congresswoman Pratt. Page 1, line 25, strike retained revenue and insert general. Any discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
Just inquire of the sponsor if there's sufficient funds in the general fund to fund this amendment.
Yes.
Any more discussion? Congresswoman Pratt.
Just for anyone's clarification, it was originally when we went into session because we didn't know the status of the general fund at that time. This was money that was appropriated in a previous session and was returned to the general treasury. So when we went into the session, I asked for it to come out of the retained revenue fund because I knew there were funds there, and I'm trying to accomplish this for this program. With there being funds available in the general treasury, I'd prefer that it come out of the general treasury because I was never just 100% comfortable coming out of retained revenue, but that was my reason for doing so. So I'm just changing it to general instead of retained revenue.
Anyone else? All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. That amendment passes. Amendments to bill number ONCA 1935, the first one presented by Congresswoman Pratt. Page 1, lines 22 through 77, strike lines 22 through 77 and insert the following table and adjust the title accordingly. Section 1, Education Department, JOM Amendment, Section 26 of ONCA 1848 is amended to read, Section 26, Education Department, Johnson O'Malley, JOM, the Osage Nation Congress authorizes and appropriates the sum of $126,705 to the Education Department, JOM, from the general fund and the treasury listed in the table below. Any discussion regarding the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. That amendment passes. We have an amendment to ONCA 1938. It was presented by Congresswoman Pratt. Page 2, line 56, strike 390,829 and insert 400,000. Page 2, line 62, strike 639,685 and insert 648,856 and adjust totals accordingly. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. That amendment passes. Next is ONCR 1908, amendment presented by Congresswoman Whitehorn. Does everyone have the amendment?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I have an amendment to the amendment, and if I may, for a little bit of clarification.
Please.
The first line, the first strike is line 55, the second strike is 57, and the third strike is 66. So the amendment to the amendment reads line 57, strike 34,652,214, insert 5,108,461.
We have a motion on the floor to amend the amendment.
Second.
Seconded by Congresswoman Lemon. Discussion, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Treasurer Littleton stopped by this morning. There was another grant that still has not been appropriated yet, but we have the grant award letter. And so this amendment to the amendment adds these funds in non-tribal revenue.
Anyone else? Okay. All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyone opposed say no. Okay, the amendment to the amendment passes. We will now move to the amended amendment. Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay. Amendment. Amended amendment passes. Last but not least, ONCR 1911. There's an amendment proposed by, presented by Congressman Potts. It's a bunch of big numbers in the millions. I'm going to not read that, if that's okay. Congressman Potts, do you want to briefly describe what your amendment does?
This amendment puts in line ONCR 1911 with the projections submitted by the Treasurer through the Clerk of Congress.
Thank you. Is there any more discussion regarding the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the amendment passes. Okay, those are all of the amendments. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I move to place ONCA 1915, ONCA 1870, ONCA 1915, ONCA 1921, ONCA 1935, ONCA 1938, ONCR 1908, ONCR 1911, on third reading on tomorrow's agenda.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the motion carries. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
This
Speaker Pratt, I'm noticed to have an appropriations meeting in 10 minutes, and none of us have had the opportunity to break for lunch. So how would you like to proceed, or would you give me some direction what I need to do with my appropriations committee meeting?
Yeah, I would say, unfortunately, we're probably 30 minutes to an hour from wrapping up. We should probably recess until after the two committee meetings. Anyone is welcome to weigh in. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Move to recess to the call of the speaker.
Second.
The speaker,
Brown. Motion to recess to the call of the speaker by Congresswoman Whitehorn. It was seconded by Congressman Potts. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, we're in recess.
Well, that was
I thought it was
close.
Appropriations.
Well, there was not that much confusion.
Maybe.
There wasn't that much confusion.
Yeah, we've had a lot more